Last night, when I was speaking to you about the subject we were speaking about, I would be speaking about in the evenings, I showed you this picture. Now, for those who are our listening audience, this is the picture that Srila Prabhupada chose to put on the first canto and the first books he printed of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is an American copy of that same picture. And this picture, Srila Prabhupada gave a whole explanation on the front cover, on the back of the cover, what all of these different figures represent. And he explained how this is the whirl of the lotus of Goloka Vrindavan, or the spiritual realm, the heart of the spiritual realm. This area here is Vaikuntha Lok, or Vishnu Lok, the Vaikuntha planets. And here around the edge are the different planets. There's also Ayodhya, Dwarka, and Mathura are represented there. And here in the center is Radha and Krishna's eternal pastimes. So when I was looking for this picture to show you this, to give you just some little idea, I also found an interesting quote from Srila Prabhupada. This is from, actually not from Srila Prabhupada. This is from, I think, Jadurani. One day I brought a painting done by our artist Murlidhar for Prabhupada's approval. On Prabhupada's request, Murlidhar had reproduced on canvas the Srimad Bhagavatam jacket cover showing the spiritual sky. As I held the painting up, Prabhupada began to explain the plan of the creation. First, he pointed to where Krishna was and explained that the entire creation was an expansion of Krishna's energy. So this here is reality. This is the spiritual sky. And as I mentioned yesterday, here we are down here in this little dark region down here. So, let me tell you something else that Srila Prabhupada said. Then Prabhupada pointed to the corner of the painting where the material world was situated. Mahavishnu is lying down there, Prabhupada said, and millions of universes emanate from his skin holes. Each universe is filled with unlimited numbers of living entities who inhabit all the planets and stars. One of these planets is our Earth. And on this planet, there are many continents. One of the continents is America. And in America, there are so many big cities. Here in Los Angeles, there is one street called La Cienega Boulevard. And on this boulevard, amongst all the buildings, is one Krishna temple. And in this temple, now this was not Jadurani, you'll know who this is when Srila Prabhupada says it. He says, and in this temple there is one Tamal Krishna. He is sitting there, and he is thinking, I am very important. Then Srila Prabhupada looked at me and he smiled. He was showing me how unimportant I really am. So Srila Prabhupada was showing Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He was showing this example, but it also applies to ourselves. Except that right now, at this very moment, we're exceedingly fortunate, those of us who are here in this room, because instead of sitting in the material world, La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, Germany, Australia, we are sitting right beside Giriraj. And we're actually not sitting in the material world at all. So this is very astonishing to us, because if we look with our eyes, we'll see so many things. We'll see Giriraj, we'll see monkeys, we'll see dogs, we'll see garbage, We'll see pigs. We'll see people going here and there for many different purposes. We'll see so many people here and they don't seem to be very spiritual. But actually the fact is that right now we're in this spiritual atmosphere and it's only our eyes that are covered. Our eyes are covered by our misconception of reality. And if that were to be removed, we would find ourselves in the presence of Krishna. This is very amazing. It's hard to believe. And it's also something that our common mind and senses finds, it rejects it and says, no, I can see this, I can see that. Don't tell me what I should see, what I shouldn't see. I see what is reality. But Krishna says, no, you don't see what is reality. This is reality up here. And you're down here in some small space in your head. And if you are fortunate by my blessings, you could understand that this is where you really need and want to go. Yesterday also, I was explaining to you how I had a tendency to be a little overly curious and how I found for myself somebody else who was also curious. And this particular person took a very long voyage over a very long time. And in a few minutes, I would like to tell you his story. But first, I'd like to give you a little orientation to what is actually Krishna's spiritual realm. There are four sections to the eternal spiritual realm. One is Vrindavan or Braj. One is Mathura. The next is Dwarka. And the third one is Golok. And Golok is in the spiritual, as Srila Prabhupada would say, the real spiritual world. Now, it doesn't mean that Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka are not really spiritual, but they're situated within the material realm. And they also are eternal, and Krishna's pastimes that take place in those three places are also going on continuously. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj tells us that Krishna stays for 125 years in one particular universe. And then, simultaneously, his pastimes are taking place in all of the unlimited universes. Unlimited in the same way you take a bag like this and you fill it with mustard seeds and then try to count them. Too many to count. So in the same way, Krishna is going from one lila, he kills Putana here on this planet, and then he goes to another universe and kills Putana, and then kills Putana, and then kills Putana. So these pastimes literally go on eternally as well. This is Krishna. So Krishna's pastimes are going on in this way. And if one worships Krishna here in Vrindavan, one has the opportunity when Krishna's pastimes come to this particular universe to take part in those pastimes if one is so fortunate. And if one is not that fortunate but very, very, very eager, then by one's chanting process, Krishna can actually manifest to the heart of the sincere sadhak, the sincere devotee, within his spiritual eyes. He can actually see the lila of any particular place in Vrindavan only by Krishna's mercy and nothing else. So you can understand, therefore, that a serious practitioner of spiritual life, perhaps the spiritual life that we're now beginning on, would be very, very, very anxious to see Krishna. Very anxious. How can I get a glimpse of Krishna? And this is why Maharaj continuously says to us, chant in relationship. Try to understand that our chanting is meant to be calling out so that this eagerness, this anxiety to actually meet Krishna can actually touch our hearts as well. Srila Sanatan Goswami was the eldest of the six Goswamis or followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he and his brother Rupa Goswami were living in Bengal under the control of the then Muslim reign of the Nawab Hussein Shah. And Rupa Goswami somehow very easily escaped. But Sanatan Goswami found it more difficult. But after some time, with his determination and the help of Rupa Goswami, who sent some money that he could use as a bribe for his jail keeper, he also escaped from Bengal and he came all the way to Benares. And in Benares, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with Srila Sanatan Goswami and spoke to him, thoroughly explaining everything that he wanted him to write about. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself did not write any literatures, but Sanatan Goswami, being the eldest of the Goswamis, he was the first writer following the instructions given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wrote the epic masterpiece of transcendental adventure known as Brihat Bhagavatamrita. All the elements of Brihat Bhagavatamrita were given to him directly by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. In the Brahma Samhita, also, Lord Brahma has given a revelation of what the spiritual realm beyond the material realm is like. But he has given it in a very mysterious sutra form, that without great assistance from these acharyas who know how to unravel the mysteries of these small statements of his, we would never be able to understand anything. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur both have given commentaries on the writings of Sri Jiva Goswami, who had given commentaries on the writing of Brahma Samhita. And there is somewhat of a mysterious controversy that takes place there, because Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that there is one kind of mood in the spiritual world, and Srila Jiva Goswami says that there is something slightly different. So our acharyas have taken these two statements of two different realized souls who can see these things, who are not imagining, and they have synthesized them and explained it in such a way that we can understand. And simply put, it's like this. This, as we're saying, is reality. The tree is reality. The reflection is a reflection of the tree. So what we see in the tree, it may manifest slightly differently in the reflection, but essentially they are the same. Because it is on rippling water, because of the sunshine and various things, the reflection may appear to be somewhat different. So there are distinctions when Krishna appears in this world. He kills demons. He takes birth. In the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, he does not take birth. He does not kill demons in the same way. In the material world, Krishna leaves Vrindavan. He goes to Mathura and then to Dwarka. In the spiritual world, he does not leave Vrindavan. He is visible in Vrindavan, in Mathura, and also in Dwarka permanently. And those devotees who love him in a particular way, in a particular relationship, they serve permanently in that place. So let me go now to our story. I would like to share with you just a very, very brief synopsis of this Brihad Bhagavatamrita story, in which there is one young boy, just perhaps the age of Satya, who takes a very long journey. Interestingly enough, we're sitting here by the side of Giriraj, and he too was born by the side of Giriraj. And he was a young Gopa boy who used to wander here and there with his calves and cows and play with the other boys and sit by the Jamuna sometimes. And he would take his time in this way, just wandering around. But one day, he met a very, very exalted personality. Now, this morning we heard from the Manushiksha that if you meet or associate with somebody who's very exalted, their sentiments and their feelings can be transferred from them to you. And this happened with this boy. He met this saint and he did some service. One time he saw he was very, very quiet, and he brought him some water and he sat with him. And this sadhu decided to give something to the little boy. And he said to him, "Come back, go and take your bath, come back, and I will teach you one mantra." So he did. And the sadhu told him, "This mantra," which was the Gopal mantra, "chant this always." And then before the boy had time to ask why and how and what are the rules involved, the sadhu just appeared to be gone. And so the boy started chanting his mantra very diligently. And after some time he started to wander because he was curious. So he went in this way to the bank of the Ganga, and he saw another Brahmin, and he had a shalagram shila, and he was very impressed with his worship. But then when he saw he put the deity in a box, the shalagram in a box, that disturbed him. And he spoke to the Brahmin and said, "Why do you put the Lord in a box?" And the Brahmin said, "I'm very poor. My worship is very simple. You should go from here to the king of this land. He's a wonderful Vaishnava. And he does so much seva for the Lord. Go and visit him and you'll become satisfied seeing his example." So the young boy went. And he explains later to another seeker of that spiritual realm. When he's explaining his story, he tells him, "I got there." And he tells him all the things he saw when he came to this king's place. And while he was there, he was admiring everything, enjoying everything so nice. It was so spiritually enlivening. And the king passed away. And the ministers discovered that on the hands of this boy, he had some special signs. And they decided to make him the king. And all of a sudden, he became the king. And he was very enthusiastic. He started distributing prasadam widely and having loud kirtan everywhere. And he started uplifting all the citizens even more than the king had done. But then, after some time, he had to worry about things. The ministers were a little suspicious of this or that, and other kings were coming to conquer, and so many things started to disrupt his worship and his chanting. And suddenly he didn't want to be the king anymore. And very soon after that he took off. He placed everything in the hands of the ministers and he left. And now he went to Jagannath Puri. When he got to Jagannath Puri, he was so happy. And he went every day to see Lord Jagannath. And he felt like now he had come to the most perfect place he'd ever been. And he stayed some time in Jagannath Puri, worshipped Lord Jagannath. And one day, as he was standing worshipping Lord Jagannath, he turned beside him and his guru was there. And then he looked back at Lord Jagannath, and when he looked back, his guru had gone. And then he was walking on the sea beach, and on the beach he saw that best personality. And his guru explained to him different things and told him, "By my blessings, you will have three things. You will never grow old. You will always continue in your spiritual journey. And you will always retain the mentality that is suitable for chanting your mantra. And then he disappeared. And the boy continued with his chanting. And after some time, the king of Puri died. And again, they said, he's such an exalted soul, he should become the king of Puri. And they made him the king. And then again, he found the same thing. It interrupted all of this fuss and all these responsibilities, interrupted his seeing of Lord Jagannath. And again, he managed to escape from that situation. But there was one problem. Wherever he went, he could not get rid of the remembrance of Govardhan. He could never forget Braj. So then one day when he was standing in front of Lord Jagannath, torn between the two, how wonderful Lord Jagannath was and what it would be like to be back here in Braj, he got the message in a dream, return to Vrindavan immediately. And he did. But when he came back, he missed Jagannath Puri. And he decided, no, I'm going back to Jagannath Puri. You see how restless he was. And so off he was going. But then he heard about Swargalok, the planet of Indra. And he concentrated very carefully on chanting his mantra. And within a very short time, he elevated himself up to Swargalok. There he served Vamanadev. And then he went on from there. He went from Swargalok to Mahalok to Tapalok to Janalok to Siddhalok and finally to the topmost planet of Brahmalok. And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, whatever he saw on each of these different planetary planes, he describes. So what a wonderful book. We can read this and take this amazing tour. A tour that no one can imagine. People take, tours to other parts of the world. They take this exciting tour and that exciting tour. But this tour is going up and up and up until finally Gop Kumar, he crosses the layers of the universe and he exits from the material sphere completely. Now, in each place he visits, he hears about the next one. And he starts to want to go there. But then he has to stay for some time more where he is because he also likes what he's found there. Then he gets a little disturbed and then somebody comes and they give him an invitation and off he goes. And so he gets all the way when he gets to the highest planet of Brahmalok, he hears there about this wonderful concept that he hadn't thought of before or heard about before because he's a simple boy. He hears about what it's like to achieve mukti. 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 It means you go out of the material realm and you can become one with the great light. And he wants to try it. So that's what his intention is when he leaves through all of the layers of the universe. He arrives in Mukti Dharm or Shivalok. And just when he's still chanting his mantra, he's still remembering Vraj, and he's fascinated by the fact that he can see, when he looks at the Mukti Brahman, he sees a personality, he sees Lord Yageshwar. He always sees a personality, but he thinks that maybe he's going to get kind of sucked in like a vacuum cleaner and merge. So he's a little bit nervous while he's there. Then Lord Shiva comes, and Lord Shiva speaks to him a little bit. And Lord Shiva sits down to take some rest, and he wonders, why has he come? First he doesn't know who Lord Shiva is, and he asks and he finds out. Then Lord Shiva gives him some advice, and then he's waiting, Lord Shiva is waiting. And who should appear but some wonderful Vaikuntha Loka Vasis. Some Vishnu Dutas have come. And these Vishnu Dutas, they tell him what it is like in Vaikuntha. They recommend to him, don't go any closer to where you were going, because you might have difficulty. You might actually be sucked into this Brahman. So please leave immediately. From here, where he was, it is difficult to go to Vaikuntha from here. Just like, say, if you go somewhere and somebody says, I'm sorry, there's no transit here. You have to go back to the terminal and take another train this way. So they told him, you have to go back down into the material world and return to Vraj. Come to Vraj, chanting your mantra. He was always chanting his Gopal mantra. And then you can go very easily to Vaikuntha. So when he came down again, he met his guru again, who told him, now I have given you everything. I have nothing more to give you. And very soon you will be successful. Then, by chanting his mantra, a wonderful aeroplane came. And he boarded the plane with the Vishnu Dutas. And they began taking him, elevating him by a way he had never imagined or conceived of, very quickly at the speed of the mind, through all the planetary systems. And as this curious little boy looked back and down on all the places he had already visited and stayed for a long time, he was a bit embarrassed about them. They didn't seem very significant to him now. And all the leaders of the planetary systems, the demigods, were showering flowers on him as he would pass by their planet, because now he was eligible to go to Vaikuntha. So Gop Kumar came to Vaikuntha. He was so happy. He came into the presence of Lord Narayan after first mistaking many, many Vaikuntha Vasis to be Lord Narayan, because they all have Swarupya liberation, so they all look the same. So he kept going to them and bowing down to them, and they would say, why are you doing this? And remember, he kept the mentality of a little cowherd boy from Govardhan. So he had a little bamboo flute. He had a little dhoti, very simple, something tied around his head, no ostentatiousness. And finally they told him where to go to meet Narayan. And when he saw him, he came running in because he wanted to hug him, because he thought, here is my Lord, my Madan Gopal. This was the deity of his heart. He ran towards Lord Narayan, and Lord Narayan, out of love for him, manifest in the form of Madan Gopal. And the boy ran towards him, and they embraced. And then the Lord said to him, why did you take so long? Life after life, I've been waiting for you. I tried so many things to get you back here. Didn't you remember me? I could have got you back here to Vaikuntha on the basis of Nama Bas. But you never turned and did any Vedic rituals. You never did anything that I could capture you and bring you here. And therefore, I became your guru. I made you take your birth in Govardhan just so you would come back to me. And Gop Kumar was so happy. He felt like, now I'm home. He felt like this for some time. And Lord Narayan would manifest these special moods to reciprocate with him. But one day, one of the residents of Vaikuntha came to him and said, it's not such a good thing that you dress like this. You should dress like us. And also, you know, you shouldn't all the time speak to Lord Narayan about these earthly pastimes. This was just something he did, one of his avatars did. This is not the most important thing. Look at the Lord. He's full of all opulence. He's so great. You shouldn't speak to him like this. And Gop Kumar started feeling a little uncomfortable. Another Vaikuntha Vasi corrected this person and said, no, You should not say that to him. The Lord's earthly pastimes are real. He performs pastimes, human-like pastimes. But of course, everyone in Vaikuntha believes and loves him that he's Lord Narayan. And this is his real manifestation. This is the Lord. This is the Supreme Lord. So now you've come here. Join us. And Gop Kumar couldn't do it. And one day, Narada Muni saw him. And he called him aside and he said to him, "It is most astonishing to see somebody in Vaikuntha, no anxiety, full of happiness here. To see somebody here who is unhappy, it's very uncommon." And he looked at his Gopavesh and he understood immediately that he doesn't belong here. So he told him so many wonderful things about Vaikuntha. And when we read, we hear so many of these wonderful things ourselves. What is Vaikuntha like? What is it like beyond the coverings of this material universe? So Narada explained things to him. And then he said to him at the end, he said, "I think you should go to Ayodhya." He said, "Because Lord Ram is very kind, and if he sees that you're unhappy there, he will send you onwards." So Gop Kumar went to Ayodhya. He stayed for some time. He was more happy there. It was nice. The monkeys were there. He could play with Hanuman. Some pleasure was there. But still, he couldn't at all, for example, he certainly couldn't wrestle with Lord Ram. He couldn't climb on his shoulders or call him names. And although Lord Ram was very kindly towards him, finally Lord Ramachandra told him, "I think you should go onwards to Dwarka." So Gop Kumar then arrived in Dwarka. And here he was. And there when he saw the Lord, he saw Krishna there, he was so happy again. And when Krishna saw him, he saw the flute in his hand, and he took that flute out of his hand, and tears started pouring down the Lord's face as he held this flute, and he started to become immersed in remembering Vrindavan. And Gop Kumar found it was possible for him in his meditation, when the Lord was holding the flute, to meditate and think, "This is my Lord Madan Gopal, and these queens, they're the gopis. And the mothers and everyone, this is Nanda Baba and Yasoda." He could keep this meditation going. So for some time, he was happy there. But eventually, the Dwarkavasis told him the same thing. "You should have golden armlets on and here and that, and you should wear very fancy clothes. You should accept the opulences of Dwarka. They come to you." But Gop Kumar would not accept the opulences of Dwarka. And Uddhava, who understood as soon as he saw this boy where he was meant to go, he took him to his home and he kept him there. But one day, Narada came again. And he said to Gop Kumar, "I think actually you have to go somewhere else." He said, "I think of all of us in this room, Gop Kumar, Uddhava and Narada, you are the most advanced and the most fortunate because your home is far away from here." And then Narada started there in Dwarka, in the house of Uddhava, because Uddhava had seen the residents of Vrindavan and seen their extraordinary level of love. Narada started to explain, he begins to explain to Gop Kumar what it is like in Gokul, what it is like in the earthly Vrindavan. If you read very carefully, you will learn what it is like for one whose heart is uncontaminated by the clouds of the material modes of nature, which make us believe that there is no sun. So then, Gop Kumar listened very carefully to everything. Narada said, "I couldn't tell you these things in Vaikuntha because there was too much Aishwarya there. And this has to be told in a very private place. But now we are all in the same mood, so I can tell you these things. And then at the end, he told Gop Kumar, you should now leave here. And you should go back to earth. You should go to Jagannath Puri. In Purushottam Chetra, Jagannath Puri, you will develop the right sentiments and qualifications to enter into Goloka. And then Uddhava stopped him and said, why are you telling him that? He belongs in that place. Why are you sending him to Lord Jagannath's place? He said, of course he will see Lord Jagannath's pastimes there, his Vrindavan-like pastimes there. But also he will have so many festivals. And when the festivals come and everyone is taking prasad and everyone is very happy, he will lose his humility. He will not become humble. He will become happy. And so why don't you send him instead to where he needs to go? Send him to Gokul. And there he will find that everybody is weeping and crying and searching for Krishna. And then he will develop the right sentiments to make his final journey to Goloka Vrindavan. And so Narada sends him. And he comes back here. And here he wanders around. He can't tell whether he's burning in fire or he's full of happiness. He can't tell. He just feels this anguish now to see Krishna. And one day, while he is wandering here and there, crying and crying, he sees Krishna appears to him from behind some bushes. And he sees him and he runs towards him. And he tries to hold on to his dhoti because he knows he's very tricky and he might run away. But then this excellent best of cheetahs, he disappears. And Gop Kumar then turns into just rivers of tears and he faints on the ground. But all of a sudden, within seconds, he perceives that somebody is taking him somewhere. And when he finally opens his eyes, he finds himself in a place like he's never been before. And he looks around. And at first he thinks, this is just like Gokul. This is just like Mathura. This is just like where I've always been. But then as he wanders here and there, trying to understand where he is, he meets some people and he notices that these people are not like any people he has ever seen before because these people have lost their minds and hearts. They're wandering around and he goes up to them because he's an ignorant young boy and says to them, excuse me, can you tell me where am I? What is this place? What is this place? Who is the owner here? And they don't even answer him. They don't even notice him. And he thinks that maybe he's disturbing them. And he tries in different ways to get their attention, but nobody pays even the slightest amount of attention to him. Until finally one old man tells him where he is. And when he finds out where he is in Goloka Vrindavan. Now we are coming very close to the end of our time tonight. Should I continue?
Yes.
All right. He asks one old man, and this old man tells him, just here is the place of Nanda Baba. And he runs towards the gateway of this town, and he says to the man, to the other sadhak who he's telling this story to, he says, I looked at this place and I saw millions and millions of extraordinary opulences that I cannot even begin to explain to you. It was the most astonishing place. And I sat down in the gateway, waiting. And people were coming out, and they were full of anxiety, and they were all coming out. And I asked them, where are you going? And they said, it is time for Nanda's son Krishna to come home. And we are all going to wait for him. And so Gop Kumar ran with them. And they ran to the path, and all their attention was looking in the distance where Krishna would be coming. Now let me read you something. The sheer force of my ecstasy had frozen my thighs. But with some effort I moved on, and I heard from afar a certain sound, mixed with the mooing of cows. It was the supremely attractive murmur of Krishna's enchanting flute. That sound, sweet melodies of sportingly played notes, diverse with musical embellishments, was like nothing ever heard in the material world. Its attractive force at once overwhelmed everyone in the cowherd village. The ladies, so diverse in complexion and adorned with diverse ornaments and dress, put to shame the good fortune of the goddess of fortune herself. Swiftly those ladies ran to the bank of the Jamuna, absorbed in singing his names and pastimes. I too went forward, as if pulled by someone. Joining the throng of gopis rushing forward on all sides, I too began to run quickly. Krishna was dressed in the forest garments, earrings and peacock feather crown, all swaying to and fro. So did his garland of kadamba flowers. His fragrance perfumed all directions, and his lotus-like face blossomed with a playful smile. His lotus eyes beamed with a merciful glance, and the varied assets of beauty decorated him in a singular way. The fingers of his lotus hand busily pushed back the locks of his hair, which flew about, adorned with the dust raised by the cows. The effulgence of his cloud-colored body, shining with the sweet fullness of youth, lit up all the corners of the sky. His beauty, which captured the hearts of the ever-dear devotees of Braj, was an ocean abounding with countless excellences. He leapt forward and came close to me, compelled by the affection of his helpless devotee. I fainted in love at seeing him. He caught hold of my neck, and suddenly he too fell to the ground. A moment later, I reawoke and carefully freed my neck from his grasp. I stood up, and I saw him on the ground, in a faint, moistening the dust-covered path with his tears. Even though he was unconscious, he was crying so profusely that his tears were turning the dust of the road into mud. Some gopis came. Look, who has come here? What has he done? He has put our life and soul in such a state. Alas, alas, just see the people of Braj, now we are all dead. Because the gopis did not know who was this Gop Kumar. This must be some servant of that great wizard Kamsa. Lamenting like this in many ways, the gopis cried loudly in distress as they surrounded Krishna. Then from behind Krishna, several groups of cowherds quickly approached. And seeing him in such a state, they all cried pitifully in pitiful voices. Far away in the village, Nanda and the elderly cowherd men heard this terrible sound of crying. And so did Yasoda, who was ever affectionate to her son, and all the other ladies of the village. Together, they all ran to that place, their feet stumbling on the ground. Bewildered, they too cried out, "Alas! Alas!" And then the cows and bulls and calves came there, and the black deer and the other animals. Seeing Krishna in this state, they wept in agony. The animals were all crying out of love, their faces drenched with floods of tears. They approached Krishna one by one, and they gently smelt him and licked him lovingly again and again. And the immobile creatures, in great pain within, they seemed to suddenly dry up. What more is there to say? All beings, moving and non-moving, were on the verge of death. As for me, I was drowning in a vast ocean of sorrow. Confused about what to do, I was severely tormented. I put Krishna's feet on my head, and I tried again and again to wake him, and began sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. When Gopkumar put Krishna's feet on his head, he could see how beautiful they were. Then Baladev, Balabhadra, Krishna's older brother, quickly arrived from some distance away, full of fear. White-complexioned and in blue garments, he appeared charming, for he was the same age as Krishna and nicely dressed. Lord Balaram, that most skillful of persons, when he saw Krishna lying there, unconscious and crying, he too began to cry for a moment. But then he seemed to regain his composure and he looked around. And when he looked around, he saw me. And he understood. And with great care and attention, he took Gopkumar and he took Gopkumar's arms and he had him put his arms around Krishna. At first, Balaram cried in distress to see Krishna's condition, but he quickly gathered his wits and looked all around to find out what had made Krishna faint. He wiped Krishna's beautiful limbs clean with my hand. He took my hand and wiped him. Then he made me lift up Krishna from the ground. Suddenly, Krishna opened his eyes, which had been sealed until then with a flood of tears. Seeing me, he joyfully embraced and kissed me, and then he looked all around, and he became a little embarrassed because everybody was there. And then that best of lords, he took my hand in his own hand, his own left lotus hand. And he received me, a long lost bosom friend. He asked me various questions, and then he greeted all the people of Braj and entered the best of cowherd villages with the gait of an elephant. Now we're going to stop here because it goes on and on telling what happened once he re-entered Goloka Vrindavan. And he's explaining so many wonderful things. And you must read this book. But you must understand also that Krishna is waiting for us. He's waiting for us to complete this journey out of the sealed eyes with the modes of nature, out of the empty heart realm, through his mercy, through our chanting, to actually also take this journey to Goloka Vrindavan. So this is what I mainly want to share with you. But I would like, if you, with your patience, to read you one last verse that goes very nicely with what I have just told you. Also from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is Gop Kumar speaking to his friend. He says, "What can I say about these activities of the Lord of Vraj? One who carefully thinks about them will conclude that they are supreme in all respects. As soon as words describing these pastimes enters one's ears, a flood of pure love spontaneously arises in the heart. If these words enter your ears, this is what will happen to you. If you have wax in your ears, you should get some of those, you know, and get it out, because this is what can happen. Please listen to this. This is a comment by Srila Sanatan Goswami on this point. He says, anyone who gives thoughtful attention to the pastimes of Braj will conclude that they are the most wonderful, more wonderful than the deeds of all other incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Even the mere words that narrate those Braj pastimes, those mere ordinary English words, even those words, beginning with the deliverance of Putana, have a magical power to awaken prema in the heart. Prema begins to awaken when those narrations simply enter one's ears. What to speak of what happens when a thoughtful devotee contemplates them with attention? Without doubting, we should accept that such an effect is possible. Because of us? No. Because of the innate potency of those words. Certain combinations of words, Sanatan Goswami tells us, have a natural power to evoke spiritual emotions, just as fire has its natural, inalienable potencies of heat and light. So we will stop here for tonight, and we'll go on tomorrow, speaking more on this subject. Tomorrow I would like to speak to you a little bit about the mood and the nature of these people of Braj, because they are most extraordinary. And if we learn to have some insights into what they, how they are, what is their mood, then we too can mold ourselves, our heart's desires, so that we can actually also connect slowly, maybe, gradually, maybe in many lifetimes from now. But one day we can connect our hearts with them. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Oh! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Prabhupada, 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 Shila Prabhupada. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radha Yeah.